Trustee Morrison Butler.
Here.
Trustee James.
Here.
Trustee Hill.
Here.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Here.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
And did you post the meeting notes?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. First item up is the legislative update. Dr. Irma Brooks Williams.
I guess I'm playing musical chairs. It's been a long day. I just wanted to give you an update in terms of what has been going on in the Illinois General Assembly since the February 2nd primary election. Of course, as everyone knows, there's a huge deficit that we are facing at $13 billion. We are facing a $77 million in terms of the pension deficit, and that's partly because over 8 years ago, the General Assembly made a decision to do the pension holidays. So that kind of put us in a big hole. So the biggest challenge that the Illinois General Assembly faces now is how to deal with the overall budget and the deficit. And as most of you, at least some of you might know, that the Civic Foundation is offering some solutions. They're looking at a 3 to 5% increase for personal income tax, 4 to 6% increase for business, and they're looking at a $1 per pack on the cigarette tax. And if those things occur, which I doubt very seriously, it should pull us out of the hole as far as a $10 billion deficit. And what we're trying to do is we will be going to Springfield on April 21st to join in on a comprehensive lobbying day by higher education. But in terms of how effective that will be, we don't know because I'm getting word from Springfield that they are looking at a six-month budget, which Dr. Finney had spoken about, and what they would do is that they would close down probably the first 2 weeks of May, and after the general election, they will either look at an income tax increase, or they will pass that problem on to the future governor. In terms of legislation highlights, Chicago State University budget bill has been proposed by Senator Trotter. And the proposal is to cut Chicago State's budget from $38 million to $34 million. And this is because of Senate Bill 1237, which has been passed, proposes to cut state appropriations across the board by about 10%. So those are some of the real highlights. But in terms of legislation overall, some of the things that you might want to pay attention to is that they're looking at prohibiting Senate Bill 3397, and they're looking at prohibiting state employees and employee spouses from acquiring state contracts. Senate Bill 3454 proposes to establish a 24-hour state hotline, and of course, in order to deal with the overall budget deficit or how universities are being paid, they're looking at borrowing money under Senate Bill 642. And some other highlights, things that are relevant to the Board of Trustees, House Bill 5483, which will require public minutes to be released after 8 days of the board meeting as opposed to waiting until the meeting minutes are approved by the board at the next meeting and being released. So that still is in committee. We're looking at House Bill 5288, which would impact Chicago State University as far as the Open Meetings Act. It would allow community college trustees to blog, and it would be exempt from the Open Meetings Act. But that bill has been proposed a number of years, and that's one of the ways that they're looking at getting around the Open Meetings Act. Of course, House Joint Resolution 75, they're looking at requiring an effective study to be made with respect to the monetary assistance program. Students will be required to have a 2.75 grade point average, and that's another means of cost savings as far as a public program. And another significant bill which would impact Chicago State University employees, the tuition waiver bill would be, or law would be repealed under House Bill 4706. And I am encouraging our civil service employees to write and talk to legislators about not repealing that, because that's a big plus in terms of state employees and trying to get their kids educated.
I missed that.
Yes.
Go slowly over that.
Okay. House Bill 4706 proposes to get rid of the 50% tuition waiver that employees like myself are able to use, you know, when our kids go to school.
I got it.
And at Chicago State, we have about 24, 25 kids of employees who take advantage of that benefit. At the University of Illinois, there are about 942 employee kids.
Dr. Brooks Williams, mm-hmm. a minute ago, you said something about there's a bill out there that relates to access to public dollars.
MAP.
Based on GPA?
Yeah, based on GPA, because last year when we were faced with that money being taken out of the budget, and that was a cost-saving kind of a measure, so what Representative McCarthy decided to do was to see how effective the MAP is in terms of, you know, whether or not students, they progress toward their degrees. So by making it a requirement that they have a 2.75 grade point average, that would almost assure that they are making progress versus students who have a 1.5, pardon me.
As they go forward?
Yeah.
After you apply for one and you get it, then the next year, in terms of your ability to come back as at least access those funds as you go forward in your career, you'd have to have a specific GPA?
Yes, 2.75 GPA. Yes, and it was passed by both houses.
That has passed by both houses?
Well, it's a House joint resolution. But basically what it means is it's under study right now, but eventually they will probably fold that into a public act. But now they're basically saying we want to study the issue.
You know, all the bills that you're talking about now, the various things going on, is Chicago State, two things. Are they taking a position on the legislation?
Oh, yes.
And are they taking a position through a lobbyist?
Dr. Williams, this might be a good time to describe how you all mobilize the various stakeholder groups here when there is an important piece of legislation around. It may help to answer that question.
And then what we do is that we have a committee as of now, because what we were advised to do was not to hire a lobbyist given the state of the budget crisis. So what we're doing now is that we're mobilizing our campus students, staff, and employees, and we do encourage people to, you know, write their lawmakers in terms of, you know, specific legislation, and then there are occasions like tomorrow I'm going down, or Wednesday I'm going down, but also we have direct contact or communication with the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and then whenever something major comes up, he makes certain that our position is known on that. But
you know, it's one thing to say, you know, we should watch our budget and limit our use of outside specialists to help us with political issues.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are potentially political issues.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been around for a long time. How does Springfield work? I mean, to say that we're not going to avail ourselves of political professionals to help us, you know, maneuver our way through Springfield, is that a good strategy?
Well, I don't think it's a good strategy, but we were advised by the Senate approach chair not to take on anyone for this term, but maybe after the, but maybe next fiscal year. I would say next fiscal year, we definitely need someone to be in Springfield, because as you can see, I'm doing double duty. But we have done that on a federal level, because the more dollars are there to access. But on the state level, we decided made the decision not to.
So basically, you got advice from the chair of the Senate Appropriate Committee,
mm-hmm.
not to engage a political professional to help the university this year.
Yeah, because his position was that there's not going to be any money in Springfield for us to access, was his position, and with him. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But this is really not about money. This is about policy.
I know.
You know, legislative policy, the policy is that, you know, our population could be significantly impacted by some of the, you know, some of the legislation.
Right.
And you know, your voice can't be heard everywhere.
Right, well,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking at you having two jobs now. But that's my concern.
Yeah.
That's my concern, is that while that may be have been the advice, are we adequately, our individual interests are not the same thing as you advise.
Exactly.
Our individual interests being protected, in our popular, our students being protected in Springfield.
Right. You know, The
idea did come to me that there were several members of the lobbying community who were interested in being a lobbyist. And the concern was that while there are three functions of government, one regulatory, the other provider, and the other protection, that the likelihood of this budget crisis being manifested upon us meant that there was very little likelihood that we would get money. Further, that there was a likelihood that little or no business of any substance would be achieved during this period. So I joined with the president in saying, well, maybe for those first 6 months, such a little hope, but bigness, we could avoid having to incur another contract to provide lobbying services. This is not the first time this has happened, but certainly it is apparent now. There's not anything that I can believe at this moment that tells me that serious work will happen in Springfield this year. Should that be the case, I think that we could revisit, the president has authority now to hire who he thinks would be necessary on a short-term coach basis to help us if we get into deep water. And so I don't want to prompt to the president, but at least I think that we tried to do the best we could to anticipate the problem.
I would urge the president to consult with someone at this point to just make sure that while we sleep, you know, without a, you know, a real professional voice in Springfield, we're not being hurt by it.
And I think that I'd like to add to that. I think that there is an external piece which is evaluating, as you're suggesting, whether or not there is a lobbying firm or a vendor that we can go to. But Dr. Watson, there's also an internal piece of this. And so with the communications consulting, this is one of those areas that can happen to us. So when we think about things we need to be ready for, what is our communication strategy around stuff like this? Because stuff like this may happen. And so part of it would be, what's our ability to mobilize our own stakeholders around support for things that she's doing? There should be a plan that's already in place so that you would, and we talked about that, have that stuff 90% of the way prepared, and then you could flip the switch. And through email blasts or phone banking or letters or your own web pages or whatever, you could mobilize some of your stakeholders. So there's also an internal piece of this that maybe we could ask our communications firm to help us think through as part of a crisis communications plan.
And also, we also using our alumni as well, but getting back to the whole financial piece, we just thought, well, at least based upon the advice that we got, it wasn't an effective means of using $100,000 to hire.
I don't know anything about lobbying, so
okay,
I
yeah.
pretend. But to me, if you could just have a conversation with somebody,
he picked
up the phone and said, look, here's where we are. You know, what's your best advice to us today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had to pay somebody, you know, $600, $700 for that conversation, you know, I'm not talking about taking out a long-term contract. I just need somebody who's been down there, got the finger on the pulse, and said, look, we're in higher ed. You know, we've joined with all the other universities And if somebody gets the responses, that's nice. But, you know, what are we doing to protect the individual interests of Chicago State?
Mm-hmm. And I think
we're unique.
Yeah, I think it is appropriate that we should revisit it. I will revisit it, but so that we are aware. I have had access to the leadership of the legislative body, and I have been in consultation with them. Have been in contact with lobbyists, the very lobbyists who we would have hired. And be quite candid, and I can go in more detail later, I've been getting, you might say, pro bono, some legwork being done on our behalf down there. So, it's open to be revisited, but we have been getting consultation, advice, and guidance from some of the very individuals who we would have hired, mm-hmm. and they've done it at a pro bono basis. But I think, but let's take a look at it.
Okay, thank you.
And we've even gotten pro bono help in terms of slipping bills, even when we're not there. We have people who are helping us on an informal basis in Springfield who care much about Chicago State.
In one way, we have the luxury of having access to some of the legislators who are willing to work with us in a very cooperative way. And also some of the lobbyists. There's about two lobbyists who we can call. And they will pull together an amendment, mm-hmm. and they will.
Okay. Well, thank you.
But I will revisit the possibility of seeing if we can hire somebody.
And I will kind of wrap up what we've been doing as far as on the federal level. As I mentioned, we do have a federal lobbyist in D.C., and we presented about $12 million in proposals. But on the federal level, things do look a little bit better. There's been an overall 29% increase in the Pell Grant proposed funding. Of course, we get money, I think about $1 million or so for the Black Male Center. So in the federal budget, there is a proposed increase of about $642 million over a 10-year period. However, on the drawback is that there hasn't been any proposed increases in child care, TRIO, the Gear Up and Work Study. But in terms of the agency levels, there have been some proposed increases anywhere between 3% and 4%. So we are accessing those. In fact, I have to get Dr. Watson to sign off on some letters. It should have been signed off probably today, but tomorrow, to make certain we get access to those fundings.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And one final clarification. I know you mentioned when you were doing the legislative update that there was a move out there that would cut Chicago State University's budget from $38 million to $34 million due to the 10% cut overall. Mm-hmm. Those cuts are independent of cuts that universities and institutions may be needing to make on their own. Mm-hmm. So depending upon what that process looks like here, Chicago State could be looking at cuts in excess of that 10%, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that the board understood that. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions? Any further questions? Thank you. The next item up is the personnel update from Dr. Renee Mitchell.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Renee Mitchell. I'm the Director of Human Resources. Keeping in mind that the Office of Human Resources has not presented to this board in quite a while, I respectfully would like to level set the role of the Office of Human Resources. We are currently transforming from a process center to become a strategic business partner to the university. That means offering internal consulting, executive coaching, process improvement, and along with our regular day-to-day HR task. Our immediate goals include increasing professional competencies, implementation of technology to facilitate quality improvement, and seamless customer service. In addition to enabling services that will simplify and/or reduce human resource-related processes. Through internal consulting and training, we intend to improve institutional effectiveness and individual performance. And we are looking at designing and implementing performance management systems as well as compensation systems that will assist the university moving forward. Over the last quarter, the Office of Human Resources has been instrumental in assisting the university with this workforce planning initiative. And that's what my presentation will consist of today. Our workforce planning, or right sizing, has been an activity that the university is currently undergoing to make sure that we have the right roles, the right people in the right places to move the university forward based on the mission and the goals of the university. In a time of budget cut and downsizing and an aging workforce, workforce planning becomes critical to the success of the university. So part of the right sizing process is that HR has helped or identified a way or a worksheet for each department to identify its mission and its vision as it aligns to the overall university mission and vision. In doing this, each department and unit identify what their current skills are against what they believe their future skills are. This created an initial gap analysis, which will identify what the right roles are for that department going forward. The goal of the right sizing had several points to it, one being the balancing of the budget for fiscal year 10 and fiscal year 11. In addition, there is a reduction in force component, operational efficiencies, centralization of functions, and the elimination of redundancies. The Workforce Planning Committee as a whole sought to understand and challenge each department and unit's mission and vision as it aligned to the overall mission and vision. What that meant was each department and unit had to identify what their mission and vision were, and the committee itself challenged them to determine whether it was in line with both internal and external customer satisfaction. So can we satisfy our customers internally and externally with the mission and vision that you have outlined? And that was the goal of the committee, to challenge that. We challenged individuals based on their current structure and their proposed structures, meaning that, do you have the right roles in your organization? Is there a redundancy of roles in your organization? For instance, do we have a payroll clerk that was located in facilities? You know, is that the right place for that? Should the payroll clerk be in finance? So we looked at the roles to determine where the appropriate function should lie. We looked at redundancy of each role. So if we had five individuals that did the same job, could we do it with three? So that was the goal of the exercise for the workforce planning. Additional actions that are being taken to address some of our workforce initiative goals is to renegotiate collective bargaining agreements. We're not filling some of our vacant positions, but this is excluding some of our critical positions. We're reducing the number of extra help and utilizing extra help in the way that it was intended and maybe not in the way that it had been done in the recent past. We're reducing the expense of overrides by properly classifying positions based on the Fair Labor Standards Act. We're expanding roles and responsibilities, and we're centralizing functions such as IT, human resources, and finance. We're reducing staff through the implementation of technology, as well as limiting some of our travel. Some of the challenges that we're currently facing with our right size initiative include some of the statutes, rules, and governing personnel actions, processes and procedures dictated by the board regulations as well as the civil service system. Other challenges include the lack of technology and an aging workforce. Some of our accomplishments that we have, some of the accomplishments over this last quarter also includes the launch of the HR website, the creation and delivery of the CSU HR policy manual, new hire orientation, the implementation of employee reward and recognition program, which is known as the STAR Award, our Wellness Wednesday, and the elimination of CSU's fiduciary responsibility for U.S. savings bonds. As we go forward, our plan is to implement people admin, which will help centralize employment, as well as automate our performance management system. We are developing specific training geared at employees as well as leaders. This will support the performance management system as well as continue to build our skill-based We are looking at reviewing our current classifications based on the Fair Labor Standards Act to determine the appropriateness of exemption and non-exemption status for each of our classifications. So that is the end of my speech. Any questions?
You talked about you made numerous references to the committee. Can you describe the general makeup of that committee?
The general makeup is the committee is primarily the president's executive council. It also included representatives from Faculty Senate, union representation. We had the civil service system come with their general counsel to make sure that we are in alignment with their rules and regulations. So that would include the members of the committee.
So the civil service representative came to a particular discussion, but the executive council, the faculty senate representative, and the union rep are on the committee all the time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you talked a little bit about the transformation process when you first got started for transforming human resources from a process center to a more strategic partner. Is that based on best practices from other colleges and universities? Is there anyone that looks somewhat similar to Chicago State that is attempting to undertake the same kind of thing you're doing?
I am not aware of any of our current state universities that are doing the same thing that we're doing in regards to becoming a strategic business partners. I think some of the things that have changed that are similar to other universities include expanding our process center. So that means taking a little bit more control over employment. That would be the similarity between us and other universities. But actually becoming a strategic business partner, helping with workforce planning, for example, is something that is different and more based on best practices of the private industry as opposed to our public universities.
Is the same thing true then of the introduction of the performance management systems? Is that?
Yes, that is based off of best practices. However, okay. It is within the guidelines of the civil service system. We are able to do it. It just has not been utilized in the past.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from?
Just one quick one. So you've got each department looking at these things you just described. What's the protocol to gather all that information and what time frame? Seems like a lot.
We started this in December. So it is a lot. And from December till now, each department has actually identified their mission and vision. They've looked at their current structure and their proposed structure. After each individual or each unit and department actually sat down with their individual departments and came up with this, they brought it to the big forum. And the big forum would include the PEC members, the Faculty Senate, and some of our union representations. At that time, each unit stood up, presented their current structure and their proposed structure, and at that time, the members of the committee would then challenge or make sure that the structure wasn't in line with the direction that the university wanted to go.
So you move pretty quick so far.
It doesn't
December,
seem like that to
March,
me, but yes.
That's pretty quick for
yes.
A number of people. That's it. Thank you.
If you look in the report to the board on page 3, she has put together a SWOT analysis. I don't know if there's anything there under weaknesses or threats that
anybody wants to delve deeper into. I think it's pretty clear.
No, it's very clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from anyone in the audience before we? All right. I believe that concludes.
Motion to adjourn.
We'll be adjourned to executive session.
Second.
Are we going to do that now? We're going to do that in the board.
Trustee Hill.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Hang on a second. Do we need to, do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that in your board, in the board meeting?
Okay, we can do that.
Because then we can do multiple things if we need. I don't know. This is needed, but this is just one thing I need.
That's fine. That concludes the.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Butler. Trustee Morrison Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.